Well, Gen Z is hands down the most online generation of all time. And if that's the case, what can we be doing as a church to better reach Gen Z? In this conversation, we're going to unpack the five best tools to reach Gen Z in your youth ministry. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about engaging Gen Z, specifically the younger side of Gen Z, and talking about some digital tools that we love that we think are really great for reaching the next generation. So it should be a good conversation today, Ian.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, that's what every church wants to do. That's a big challenge for a ton of churches that come our way that I consult with every day is how do we reach the next generation, you know, more effectively? And if we don't, then our church is going to, churches will die. Yeah. and we hate to say that and use that word, but it's just a sad and true reality. If you don't do all or a great deal of what loving hands can do to reach the next generation, then you're going to be missing out.
Yes, I know that generation talk is mostly like, it's not really, like there's not like hard and fast things that happen between the 1 year transition from generation to generation. So this is a broad term. But I think it's important for us to think about who we're talking about when we talk about Gen Z. Gen Z, now it's a surprise. Every time I look at this, I'm always surprised that, oh my gosh, they're older than I think. Because like you and I were around for like all the fun poking that was happening at millennials.
Right.
You know, so I'm
making fun of man buns and all of that, the clothes and everything else. Yep.
I'm born on the transition year from Gen X to millennial. I know you are a deep Gen X.
1 year away from that. I'm closer to millennial.
You're kind of mid Gen X, I know, for you. So, for those that don't know, today, as of the time of this recording in 2024, Gen Zers are between 27 and 12. I have a 12-year-old son who is my older kids tell me that he is the next generation, Alpha, I guess, or something is that what they're calling them. But I think that the things that I read mostly is 27 to 12. They're usually about a 15-year period for a typical generation there. So what's crazy to think about is this is the last year that if we're doing a youth ministry-related conversation in the podcast here, that we'll be able to refer to youth groups as exclusively Gen Z youth groups.
Because
everybody that's in kids ministry right now is a new generation that's coming up. So
that's
kind of crazy to think about.
And I'm right there with you. My son, he's 13 and my daughter is 16. So they both are technically Gen Z.
Gen Zers, exactly.
That's right.
So, let's dig in a little bit. We put some thought into this and have some of the tools that we are hearing from youth pastors, youth teams. They are seeing a lot of effectiveness. Our writing team actually here that kind of helps us brainstorm topic ideas and stuff. They are all deeply involved in youth ministry. And so while you and I don't directly work in youth ministry, our writing team helped us with a lot of these ideas here, and we dialogued about them and feel like there's some pretty good opportunities to talk about. So why don't you kick us off with the first tool that we need to be using to reach Gen Z?
Yeah, so it's funny. I think it's official that you're old if you're using Facebook. And because I know that the only reason that my kids don't even have a Facebook, but I had to make my son get an Instagram account. So this is also telling. We're going to talk more about Instagram here, and TikTok primarily is what we'll be focusing on. Speaking of my son, reason I had to make him get an Instagram account, and he's again 13, he's on TikTok and watches YouTube. Of course, we're very careful of what content he sees there and everything. And I know there's some that's a heated topic for many as far as the TikTok mostly. But long story short, I made him get an Instagram account so that I can share inspirational stuff, whether or not it's Christian or sports related stuff, because he's a Christian athlete. And so now my daughter, who's 16, she voluntarily has an Instagram, but she also
meaning that
because I think what we're seeing with this, Thomas, the reason I'm mentioning that is that 3 year gap, right? So we have some statistical data from 2020. So is what we're going off of. You know, if anyone knows anything about stats, you're usually always a few years back on something solid that was put out there that you can find. Let's just dig right into that. So basically, 7 in 10 American teens use TikTok. That's a pretty big deal since 2020. So 84% of teens use Instagram, 80% Snapchat, and then 69% TikTok. And then from there we go way down to like the 30% to even 20s when we go from Twitter down to Facebook and everything. So mostly, and again, this is 2020. You and I were talking before when we were looking at this, we think that it's probably a bit even higher now on TikTok. But if you're not leveraging Instagram and TikTok to reach Gen Z, that's a problem. So that's what this data is.
That's our
telling.
First two, really. So our first two tools we were going to talk about is Instagram. I think that's still the primary one. I'm surprised that you said, so let me ask you a few questions. Do your kids use TikTok?
They do, yes.
They do, okay. So we have my two older kids, so one's an adult, I guess. So my daughter's 19. My son is 17. They're both using TikTok. We don't let our 12-year-old use TikTok just because we think that that's too young. But we think that's something that is, maybe in the cards in the future, I suppose.
He's 13, because you're making me feel bad now. We'll have to have a come to Jesus talk after this.
Well, maybe we just talk about you and your parenting later.
I'm kidding.
We'll discuss more about that, but... Anyway, so I think that there is and we're kind of getting both number one and number two.
Right, we are.
They're both digital tools here together, and they're in the same vein, and really you're going to use a lot of similar methods for both of them. Yeah, I think that there was kind of some aversion to these things here, like to kind of using social media in those realms. I think that's mostly past us. Most youth pastors live on social media as well. And so it's if you're under, 35 years old, you're a digital native. You probably grew up with Instagram and at least Facebook and those kinds of things. So yeah, I think it's really kind of an obvious two channels to be focusing on. If I was leading a youth ministry today, it would be those two channels. Yeah. I would still lean heavier on Instagram because their stories, and I think just the way the algorithm works on Instagram is a little bit more friendly towards relationship and creators that you know. So I think as a youth pastor, connecting with your kids on Instagram, you'll be more likely to see local content and they'll see you more likely than on TikTok. It's, I think, a little bit more entertainment based. They're going to be more likely to see other kinds of content and maybe not content that's, that is people that they have relationship with or people that they follow. So our experience on that. So I think just a little bit like funny story. My son, to what you were saying before about kids don't have Facebook, that is totally true. My son, my 17-year-old does, because it's still the best place for selling and buying stuff on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's like they were so smart in Facebook to kind of create some of that functionality. I also see, I'm not really so much with youth ministry, but I see a lot of potential there with groups on Facebook. So if you're part of a Facebook group that has the same interests or affinities of some kind, so I'm a part of groups for church communicators, Christian business owners, those kind of things. It's always inspirational for me. But I think for young people, I think the focus is really on those two channels, Instagram and TikTok, and really putting yourself out there, getting better at creating content. Listen, we know that this is a lot of work. Here right now, we're in the middle, you and I, Ian, of making content. And before we film this episode, we, maybe you could tell everybody what we do at the beginning of an episode to kind of get ready for TikTok and some of those kinds of things. You can share with our audience what we do there.
Well, a lot of talking, a lot of editing, a lot of questions. I say editing. The editing comes later. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But no, we have intros that we record. We do.
Those intros specifically is what I was getting at. It's just something that before every episode, we know that a lot of this content is going to get repurposed into. Into reels and TikTok videos and YouTube shorts and those things. So we record some hooks to go along with this, kind of guessing some of the things we're going to be talking about later that we'll be able to repurpose this content with. I really recommend for youth guys, let's say you record your youth services, you have a camera in the back, and maybe you want to repurpose some of that content, making sure you have a strong hook to go with it. I don't know, like we did hooks about this topic already. So we would look at the camera and say something like, you know, if you're not using Instagram, you're missing a huge opportunity to reach Gen Z. You know, we'd do something like that with like an upbeat style and everything. And just so doing some of those kinds of things and really thinking about your strategy in these two areas, I think it's really important. So,
yeah, last thing I'll say with it is it's a way to evangelize too. You know, we often it's you think of all the negative stuff when it comes to TikTok and all of that, and we're not going to go into that in this episode or anything like that, but use it as a forum to reach the next generation with the gospel, and you can get creative. And the good news is the content on both of these channels, particularly TikTok compared to Instagram, very short. It's not something that, and it could be done easily from a smartphone. So, and we'll be putting content out even on ideas for stuff later. So, but cool. And the next one, so changing gears from that, unless you had anything else to
go for
add
it. Number
there,
three.
Thomas. Planning Center. I can tell you that I chuckle every time I hear about Planning Center. Reason why is because I don't know, 50% of every church that I talk to now is using it, maybe, and that I talk to. Again, I don't know what the statistics are as far as how many. They are doing a very good job. They're doing several things well, but a lot of churches, and there are a lot of great church CRM systems out there, database software systems out there, but Planning Center has really got a ton of momentum right now. That's one. And it's got a lot of cool features for youth pastors and helps youth pastors with administrative stuff. There's tracking, a lot of different stuff. So, but it really does kind of help with responses. There's a lot of neat, we're not going to dig in and do a whole teaching or of how it works, but it is definitely something that's the Gen Z preferred probably platform for Gen Z.
Yeah. So this is funny. Our Gen Z team here at Reach Right, talking about how they're reaching Gen Z in their youth ministry, brought up Planning Center. And I pushed back. I kind of thought about this a little bit, like, man, like, why, guy? Like, it seems like that's the most boring thing you can think of. I think there's a few reasons. I think just as leaders, it will help you to just be more consistent. And, you know, we're one of our values here at Reach Right is that results count. And so we are always talking about measurement, and every one of these people that's going to youth ministry, they have souls, and counting them is important and measuring that stuff. So that's part of it. But I think that there's a unique desire that I think Gen Z has where part of what gives them fulfillment is serving other people and getting involved with acts of service. And so they really felt like the team here was thinking that Planning Center was a great tool that they use to help engage more of their young people with acts of service, with getting involved in other areas of the church or community outreach type events. And so, if you're leading a youth ministry and your church is using Planning Center, or really, I think any church management software you might be using out there, but Planning Center is probably the most common one now. And just doubling down on that, and don't assume that just because they're not adults that they don't want to be involved in kind of the overall momentum of things on the church. And so Planning Center is something that we use for our youth ministry at our church, I know, and it's something that's really been helpful. So good stuff.
That's good. Yep. Next one you got. I like this one.
Yeah, the next one I love, and I think this is probably the one that is the fewest churches are using. But it's using Spotify to engage Gen Z. Lots of ways that you can do these kinds of things. I think the obvious ones and ones that I've seen have a lot of effectiveness is building playlists on Spotify for songs that maybe you guys sing in your youth ministry time. If you guys have like a full youth service and you guys have worship and those things, building a playlist from there of songs to help people kind of stay connected. I know that every time my kids come back from camp, it's so weird. Like, they'll go like not wanting to listen to any worship music or anything like that, and they'll come back like and get in the car and say, hey, can we put on some worship music? Because they're so inspired by some of these things. So building playlists to help your young people kind of stay engaged with this kind of content, I think is really awesome. And then there's just something for it. Like when kids don't know a song at church versus when they do know a song and they're belting it out during a worship time. I mean, it's just so life-giving to see kids openly singing And there's just a lot of passion that goes with that. So I don't know. I've seen a lot of results there with Spotify and kind of inviting people into that conversation and having them be on your list is really a good thing.
Yeah. And again, it's something they're already using. So let's just end with that. So you're meeting them where they're at. So next one, another cool one, the Bible app. I think I've used the Bible app for years. I actually use it every morning. Though I will read through books of the Bible and my personal devotion, one of the things I love about it, and I think this is something that I know also Gen Z loves, and there's data out there that they use this, is there's a verse of the day, but not only... So the Bible app has always had that, but they have built upon that now to where it comes with a key speaker that actually breaks down the verse of the day with a brief video. And again, we know already Gen Z is looking at brief videos all day long on social media, like we've already talked about. And I think it really helps their devotion. It's such a visual generation, even more visual than our generation and millennials. And so you're engaging them with, they can more easily probably dig into the discipleship they need because it's meeting them with media. There's even guided prayer features in it. Mm-hmm. There's also brief worship segments after a devotion. It's pretty cool. Like I did a devotion the other day, you know, had the verse, someone spoke on it, and then actually a couple of worship leaders from a key church did a brief little worship song at the end, and then it goes into guided prayer. These are interactive features, and also you can follow people. So if it's a youth group, you can see what Johnny's doing for his devotional study and follow his if it resonates with you. So very interactive. Again, it's on their phones that they're already using. So I think that definitely that's something that's... And there's other ways to use it too. That's just a few.
There's two things I love about this. I think number one, it's the synergy that it creates. So just the idea that all of my youth ministry can all be in the same passage of scripture. Maybe it's a church-wide thing, you're all together, but maybe just for your youth ministry, if your church doesn't use it, using it that way is an enormous tool that, you know, we're reading the same thing, we're doing the same devotional, and we're all going in the same direction is kind of the idea that I love. And then on top of that, I love what I would call like the gamification in some ways. This is a little bit of a strange concept, but the gamification that we have around doing devotional times. So it's similar to like the same thing like with Apple, like that people want to close the loops on your Apple Watch, right? So that's kind of the whole thing. You get all your exercise and then you have streaks of days. Same thing on the Bible app, right? That with the Bible app, you can have streaks of numbers of days that you've opened your Bible app, you've done your devotional time. And I think that that
makes
kind
me
of
feel more spiritual.
It isn't. Like it shouldn't be that way. And I understand like it's kind of...
I know. I'm joking, but yeah.
Yeah, I know you are. But the part of it is like it is sad. Like on one side that like, you know, it should be enough for us just an encounter with the Lord. I would want to be enough.
Yeah.
But I do think there's value in that little extra push that you say, man, I have 19 days in a row on my devotional time. It's 9 o'clock at night and I'm tired, but I don't want to break that streak. Let me get before the Lord and just kind of do my devotional time here. Yeah. So there's some power to that. And that's what I would call like the gamification in some ways of your devotional time that you're trying to keep the streak going.
Yeah, you're right. But obviously where it also is positive is we got to understand that this generation is, I think they all have built in ADD. It's a joke kind of, but we take ADD seriously for those that really have it. We know it's a thing, but at the same time, everything's competing for their attention.
Yes.
So those little reminders, those notifications, they make a difference. So, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Good stuff. So, yeah, this is just some of the things I thought this was really helpful. I liked the kind of conversation that this sparked, kind of seeing what, from Gen Z for Gen Z and us, Gen Xers kind of learning a little bit more about these kind
young
of things.
Gen
and it's
Xers.
Been really, I mean, so one young Gen Xer, I think one kind of mid Gen Xer on the team here. So anyway, hopefully you've been helped by these Gen X opinions on what's working right now for Gen Z. It's been We'd love being able to share it with you guys. If it has been helpful for you, it would mean a lot to me if you would leave a comment down below, hit the subscribe button. If you have a tool that you use in your youth ministry or that your youth ministry uses at your church that we didn't talk about here today, I'd love to hear more about it. That would be fantastic. Drop us a comment. We may make some other content around that. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.